Hello, this is Frankly Speaking, an informational exchange of problems and issues of relevance to people everywhere. Today's program addresses the subject of the aging process. I'm Helen Ackerman for George Mason University. My panelists today are Donna Foster, Director, Fairfax County Area Agency on Aging, and Kathy Kopek, Assistant Professor of Nursing at George Mason University and a nurse gerontologist. Kathy, I'm going to start with a difficult question. What is the aging process? Do we just wear out, or is disease involved?
Well, the question is kind of a philosophical one and difficult to answer in that people tend to view aging as beginning at one point in time. And I'm not sure that that's appropriate. From the time a cell is fertilized in the womb, so to speak, and is growing, aging is occurring. Because it is a process of development, and development tends to occur from the time the individual is that tiny cell until the day of death, and there's probably some dispute about what happens afterwards. So I could answer you that aging occurs for all people at all times, from the time you're in an embryonic state until you die, and then maybe afterwards. On another level, if you want to define what causes aging, which maybe gets more at the issue of what you were talking about, and if we're going to talk about it in terms of people slowing down and not being able to react to stress as much, we really don't know what causes that. We have theories about aging. We have the wear and tear theory. We have the theory that it's a genetic mutation that occurs. There are a variety of theories to look at what causes aging in a decline sense. All right.
Do you think Americans look at aging in the wrong way? Do you think their attitude to it is very negative?
Well, I would tend to believe that the people I'm associated with, for the most part in healthcare, have a decremental view of aging. And that happens because we see people who are ill. People come to us with their healthcare problems. One of the things that I stress as a faculty member at George Mason is that there is definitely a push towards looking at maintaining healthy old people and putting them in control of their lives. To that end, at the graduate level, I teach two courses. One deals with the healthy aged individual and focuses on normal aging, and the other deals with health deviations. That is different from the way many people view it. And initially, what is interesting with my graduate students is I often have to spend at least half the semester getting them to think along the lines of normal aging. They will tend to come in to prepare for a class ready to discuss drugs. Drugs aren't something that all older people have to be involved with. But indeed, many older people do take drugs. So I have to constantly pull the students back from looking at it in that fashion. If I'm doing that with the students who have a vested interest in being involved with the age, they've chosen this as something they want to do professionally, I don't want to make any leaps of faith, but I would tend to believe I would find that in the population at large as well.
Donna, how do you see this? Do you think the people you deal with see aging as something unnatural and strange?
I don't know that I would so much say that it's viewed by the public as an unnatural process, but it is viewed, I think, with a lot of fear and misunderstanding. I would support what Kathy was saying in that not just in relation to nursing students, who I would hope would have a greater awareness level, but in the sense of the general population, we typify older people by the person who we think of would be in a nursing home. And that, as we know, is a very small percentage of older people in our society. Less than 5% of the elderly ever end up in a nursing home. So I think we have a long way to go in terms of changing societal attitudes about the aging process. And it's an information giving kind of thing. I think we've come a long way in that regard, too.
What is it your agency does?
Well, we do a variety of activities. Our major responsibility is planning and coordinating services for the elderly that are funded through a piece of federal legislation called the Older Americans Act, which provides funds down to states, then down to local levels, to do certain community-based programs, such as congregate meal centers, transportation, home care services, legal services, etc.
Families often agonize about whether or not to send an aged relative to a nursing home, and the image generally of such places is pretty negative.
Mm-hmm.
Are nursing homes just the victims of bad press, or should we try very hard to keep people out of them?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. Nursing homes are an essential part of the service continuum for older people. There are some older people who can not be cared for to the extent that the type of care, the medical care, in the home, and they will require nursing home placement. I think the problem that we have is the mindset of warehousing people, and all of us have a feeling against doing that. One of the things that I think we're going to see more of in the 1980s and in the future is more emphasis on what we call home-based care or community-based care as opposed to institutional care. Through the federal Medicaid or medical assistance program that was initiated back in the 60s and really has blossomed in the 1970s, the biggest expense nationally, and this is felt in state budgets and so forth, and the care of the elderly is with public support for older persons in nursing homes. And this has grown astronomically in terms of the kind of public investment in this level of care. And people are beginning to ask now, is there a more humane and more cost-effective way to care for older people, i.e., in the home and in the community? So I think that we're going to see, as a matter of public policy evolving in the 1980s, more of an emphasis on homemaker services, companion services, daycare centers for the elderly, and the like.
Would you agree with that, Kathy?
In terms of the nursing home image, which is what kind of hit for me when you were talking about that, I would just like to make some comments that I think that extended care facilities are beset with just as many problems as acute care facilities are beset with, but sometimes to an exaggerated degree. And I think that's often what might give them some bad press. Right mm-hmm. now they're having a great deal of difficulty with nursing staff because there's a nursing shortage across the country, very well documented. Now, nurses typically profess a greater interest in younger age groups, in acute care settings, preferably in community work. Nurses don't always profess that great an interest in being in an extended care facility. So number one, they're dealing with an attitude on the part of nurses. Number two, because there is a nursing shortage, they're often having to do without the kind of staff that they might ideally want to hire simply because they can't attract them for a whole variety of reasons. I believe that, nursing needs to be actively involved with them and make some contributions. Personally, I try to do as much continuing education for nursing home staff as I can. And I've been very active with the University of Virginia in offering a 3-credit course on nursing care of the aged, which I will continue to do, and I also try to do consulting with them. It doesn't bother me to go into those facilities because I think the staff genuinely need help. The burnout for the staff, I think, becomes high in an extended care facility, mm-hmm. and that's not an issue that's very often addressed. Oftentimes, that's not something that they're almost allowed to have because, well, your work isn't nearly as sophisticated, it's bed and body care. Why should you burn out? Anyone who's cared for a person with chronic disease will tell you that after a period of time, you need external supports. And I don't think that the people in nursing homes always have that. Another comment that I'd like to make along the nursing home line is that In terms of families warehousing people, I don't think we've become nearly as sophisticated enough within our helping professions to always put as much of an effort in looking at the placement of an older person as a family decision, with the older person making the ultimate decision. So that oftentimes the nursing home is caught in the middle of unresolved conflicts with families that they can't really do anything about. Someone's obviously had to go to a nursing home. The family can no longer take care of them. But prior to admission, those family issues weren't settled. And again, the nursing home's caught in the middle. Oftentimes that gets into a name-calling kind of thing where the family will say, well, this isn't being done for Dad, or this isn't being done for Mom. And sometimes the motivation for a lot of that comes out of a sense of one's own guilt or not having settled old conflicts. And I believe there are two sides to the issue.
What's a family to do, however, when they have a member of their family and this person is obviously incapable of caring for themselves and is a terrific worry to the family? The family can't take this person in for either economic or for reasons of space, and yet they feel they have to do something. And sometimes older people are almost incarcerated against their will, but it's because they have to be for their own safety. How is a situation like this resolved? Do you come up against this, Donna?
Not our office directly, but I'm aware of the dilemma because of the type of agencies that we deal with day in and day out, and the fact that they are dealing with the dilemma. I think the key element here is working through the issues at the family level. That's the key element. Yes, there's going to be anger on the part of both parties. There's going to be misunderstanding, and you talk about guilt. There's going to be guilt like you just can't imagine. But rather than sweeping it under the rug and pretending as if you cannot have these feelings about your parent, the issue is dealing with it. And I might add here that there are resources now just about in any community throughout the United States through the public mental health center system of therapists that are trained in gerontology to assist in some of these essential life dilemmas. There's no magic answer, but it's more or less working through it and acknowledging that the guilt and the anger exist and trying to work on it as a family unit.
Unfortunately, our time is up. I'd like to thank our guests for frankly speaking on the aging process. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public affairs program of George Mason University. Pat Ping, production coordinator, Stephanie Colbert-Hopkins, producer. Information about our guests or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Helen Ackerman for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.